You're with Senator Malcolm Roberts on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome back, and I'm not going to hesitate at all. Over to you, Philip.
Right.
With Dr. Philip Oldman.
So where were we? I forgot.
You were talking about the response from these so-called experts is not there.
Yeah. So basically, they are denying that the excess deaths. They're refusing to admit that in the adverse drug reaction reporting that these deaths are caused by the vaccines. They use the word, quote, linked, unquote, so to avoid any legal liability here. And they've only actually admitted to 13 deaths linked to these so-called gene-based vaccines. That's obviously wrong. But you have to look at who's assessing these adverse drug reactions and assessing their cause and effect relationship. There are guidelines to do this. There are generally accepted rules, right? That and principles that one uses. I know where we were. I was going to say that one of the primary reasons that or justifications that you can use to say that a drug is linked to an adverse effect is the time course of events. So if you administer a drug close to the adverse event, that is reasonably good evidence. It's not evidence on its own, but it is very, very strong evidence. Now, in the case of these vaccines, if you look online, a lady called Dr. Jessica Rose, who's just absolutely amazing at plowing through all the data, has presented at conferences around the world the data showing that most of the deaths that have occurred for some unknown cause in otherwise healthy people have occurred within about 48 hours of administration of the vaccines. That is really strong evidence that there's a cause and effect relationship, right? If you have a healthy person, they get injected with a vaccine, for some reason they have a heart attack within 48 hours. You have to ask yourself, wow, is that a one-off chance? It could be. It could be. Or is it linked to the vaccine? If you look at enough people, millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people, and you see a pattern that's beginning to emerge, that tells you, is there a relationship? Now, the TGA here have just simply turned a blind eye to it. And that's why I was saying at that meeting on Saturday that I believe our adverse drug reaction reporting system is broken because it's not picking up these red flags. They're obvious. They're everywhere. They're all around the world in huge numbers. And yet, this is the principal basis why our chief health officers can go around the country and say that these things are safe and efficacious based on, especially the safety claim, based on the lack of claimed linkage between these gene-based vaccines and the deaths. And if that system is broken because the people involved are conflicted, who are directly or indirectly beholden to the vaccine industry, whether it be in terms of career advancement or research grant money or travel grants or promotion or whatever it is. It's not dollar bills and brown paper bags. It doesn't work like that, right? But you're either part of the team, you're either on the team, or you're not on the team. And if you're not on the team, it's a really tough road, right? So this adverse drug reaction reporting system is a closed shop. It occurs secretly behind closed doors. You don't know who's doing it. You don't know what their instructions are. And this is the principal, fundamental operation upon which RTGA claims that these gene-based vaccines are safe, because the usual data that's required in drug development is lacking to prove that these things are safe. And I'm saying, I believe our adverse drug reaction reporting system is broken. And if it's broken, it either has to be fixed or you have to get rid of the provisional approval system, which is allowing these gene-based vaccines to skate through the regulatory system without the normal safety data.
So let's be clear about that. What you're saying, as I interpret it, you're saying two things, basically. If you want to provisionally approve a treatment, then the reporting system must be damn near perfect. Secondly, you don't believe there's direct money changing hands and it's causing this corruption, because it is corruption, in my view. You know, you can have a computer chip that's corrupt. It doesn't work properly. It's not necessarily fraud, although I believe there is some fraud going on in this country. There certainly is in America, but it could be just groupthink or gutlessness. People too vain to recognize, or lacking courage and integrity to admit errors. But before we go on with your speech, I just want to share with our listeners this figure. You presented it last Saturday in Melbourne. 30,479 deaths reported in the VAERS COVID vaccine adverse events reports in America to date. What is really scary is that some experts are saying that represents gross underreporting, which could be representing just as little as 1% of total deaths. Others estimate it could be 10%. If the 30,479 is just 10%, that means we've had 300,000 Americans die from COVID injections.
Yeah.
If it's 1%, that means we've had 3 million Americans dead. And the serious effects are catastrophic in terms of Bell's palsy, in terms of heart conditions, hospitalizations, urgent care, anaphylaxis, Bell's palsy. Let's continue with your speech.
Right.
Thanks to a complicit media. Sorry.
So I just wanted to clarify that not every adverse drug reaction report, simply because it's made, means that there's a cause and effect relationship. Each one has to be evaluated by skilled people, and you have to have a lot of detailed data and follow-up on each case, especially in regard to the deaths. Now, so only a proportion of those would be ascribed to the deaths. However, as you said, Malcolm, there's an underreporting factor. The TGA itself, every drug regulatory agency around the world recognizes that there's an underreporting factor. RTGA says it's between maybe 10 and 20 times. There have been lots of papers which actually come to the conclusion, and I believe the underreporting is more like 100 times. So as you say, for every death reported, you can actually multiply that by 100, and then you have to apply the criteria for whether or not the death is actually caused or considered to be caused by the drug. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you. I know you value accuracy. And in Australia, it's significant. Now, my understanding is that when someone dies, regardless of cause of death, the death is reported by a doctor. We've had in this country 900 plus deaths reported as being due to the vaccines, the injections. The TGA has removed them and said it's only 11. As you said, with no explanation, no detail on the guidelines. Now, if what you're saying and what many experts are saying around the world is correct, then it's many, many more than 900. It could be 9,000. It could be significantly higher than that. And yet the TGA, completely behind doors, closed doors, is saying, no, no, nothing to see here, just 11. So they're nixing the doctors who are reporting these deaths.
Yeah. The number is up to 13 now. That's the latest figure as of this week, I believe. But there's an important point here. People, they're playing games here, because the average age of so-called COVID deaths is in like the mid-80s, right?
And higher it was than the life expectancy.
Exactly. And just because someone dies and they've tested positive for COVID with a PCR test, which should never be used to diagnose COVID-19. We all know that, right? It's put down as a COVID death. You can only ascribe a COVID death. Do an autopsy, right? For these kids that have died, for example, they say no kids, no children in Australia have died due to this vaccine. I doubt that is correct. Okay? I don't know that it's incorrect, but everything I read tells me that is not correct. And there is a certain mortality associated with these vaccines. And the TGA would like to say, oh, it's saving more lives than it costs. I'm unconvinced of that. And what's more, autopsies are not being done. If you don't do an autopsy on someone, you really don't know what they died of, right? And autopsies are being frowned upon. We have spent billions of dollars on PCR tests, wasted money on PCR tests. We should really be doing autopsies to determine what the mortality is associated with these vaccines. Because if you don't know what the mortality is, how can you determine, how can you assess risk versus benefit? Whenever you give a drug, whenever any doctor prescribes a drug, whether consciously or unconsciously, they're going through their mind, their head, and thinking the risk versus the benefit. Every single drug has risks and benefits. Every single drug. There's no drug that doesn't have risks. And yet, if we don't know the damage that's being done by the vaccines, if it's being covered up with an inadequate, inefficient, biased adverse drug reporting system, how do we know that these so-called vaccines are not doing more harm than good?
Philip, I want to thank you so much for what you've just said, because my overarching impression of federal parliament, and clearly the state parliaments, is that policies, legislation, are not based on solid data. They quite often contradict the data. You need, first of all, to have the data that demonstrates cause and effect before you can say anything. We need to apply vaccines. We need to cut human production of carbon dioxide. Any policy. That's fundamental. Only once you have that cause and effect can you then look at the alternatives for dealing with treating that. And only once you have that cause and effect in a quantitative, specified, numerical relationship can you assess progress in your or improvement in your policy or your legislation. The federal parliament is running this country blind. That is the overarching message that I've picked up in my years in parliament. What I'd like to do is pop a question on you now. Your speech is triggering wonderful revelations. Would you be willing to come back again and we'll do another 2 hours, because we're not going to cover your speech in the next 40 minutes. Would you be willing to do that?
Sure, of course.
Okay, wonderful. Now we can take it at a more leisurely place. Now, I also want to reaffirm with a story, a mother who told me personally, and she did it in public, that her daughter died from these COVID injections. The daughter was fit, healthy, vibrant, energetic, a lovely person. She had never had asthma in her life. And yet the cause of death was put down to asthma. Complete bullshit. That is a lie. So let's continue with your speech. Thanks to a complicit media.
I have a story too. Can I tell you a quick story?
Yes, sure. Go for it.
Because it's important. I'm involved in this case. There is a lady right now in Melbourne needing a heart transplant. She doesn't want to be vaccinated for very good reasons, and I understand that completely. And the hospital involved is saying you cannot have a heart transplant. You cannot be admitted to our hospital in Melbourne. I won't name the hospital. Without being vaccinated, knowing full well that these gene-based vaccines, by their mode of action, will produce spike protein, which is the toxic component of SARS-CoV-2, and will damage any heart, whether it's a subclinical minor damage or major damage leading to death. They can't predict it. And this lady is sitting right now waiting for a heart transplant, and her doctors, her hospital, is saying, we want to inject you with something that's going to produce spike protein, which we know is the toxic component of SARS-CoV-2, yet this is our condition for admission to the hospital because we think that's the way things should be done to keep you safe. Really? Honestly? I mean, I can't believe what's going on. It's hard. Sorry to tell you that story, but it just, whenever I think about it, it's just devastating.
Thank you for sharing that. It's just inhuman, Philip. That is the word that I've used more than any other, I think. The word is inhuman. That describes best the treatment of the Australian people as a result of this COVID and the fear that's been fabricated. So let's continue with your speech. Thanks to a complicit media, not only is the public not aware that these so-called vaccines are associated with thousands of unexpected deaths in otherwise healthy people within 48 hours of administration, but the public are not generally aware that non-COVID-related excess death numbers, including cancers, heart attack, stroke, diabetes, and neurological disease all around the world have risen significantly. These increased numbers of deaths coincide with the COVID vaccine rollouts. Otherwise, healthy people are dropping dead for no apparent reason. Now, we have to go to a break, but before going so, look around. You continued your speech. Look around. Relatively young people, including fit athletes, are dying from non-COVID deaths in alarming numbers. Faced with the inconvenient truth of the excess death statistics, which are difficult to fudge, and they are quite clear, we extracted them from the Australian Bureau of Statistics after their 18-month delay just last week. Some national statistical organizations have responded by dropping any comparison of excess deaths for the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, or by reclassification of deaths as unknown cause. In fact, unknown cause of death has been reported as the leading cause of death in parts of Canada. These deaths are unknown because autopsies are not being done on purpose. Not being done on purpose. The unsuspecting and trusting public were told by our most senior public health officials that these so-called vaccines were safe and effective without qualification. This was not only misinformation, this was reckless. It is illegal to make false and misleading therapeutic claims, but our chief health officers seem to be above the law. These reckless words of assurance gave agency to employers to introduce vaccine mandates while our Prime Minister at the time, Cabinet and Premiers stood by and allowed it to happen. I put it to you, Philip, that they didn't just stand by, they enabled it to happen. They drove it to happen.
Yeah.
And what I would like to know when we come back, they're very powerful statements that I just quoted from you. I believe they're entirely correct with what I've learned in this virus mismanagement. And I would like to know, is this evidence of culpability, or is it just evidence of gutlessness and ignorance? We'll be right back. We'll be back with Dr. Philip Altman straight after this break from our sponsors.
You should hear what Brian McLean is talking about.
COVID vaccines will likely become annual, like flu shots, White House officials say, coming out of NBC here.
Health experts say getting regularly updated COVID shots will become routine.
We want to get into the cadence and the rhythm of about once per year, get an annual shot.
I find it strange that these are the current NBC headlines, considering what we learned out of Israel last week on the show when we had Steve Kirsch on, because there's very, very compelling evidence here that we now have proof of serious side effects of unknown duration, perhaps irreparable. There's causality being shown there. These were not just coincidences. Government corruption to hide these harms. Correlation between vaccine doses and deaths from multiple independent studies on multiple independent data sets. And of course, no interest in seeing the expert report or video from any mainstream news media, any member of mainstream medical community, any lawmaker, any public health official, anywhere in the world.
Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Every year, Steve Faircal climbs the stairs at the John Hancock Center in Chicago, 94 floors to the top.
It's called the hustle up the Hancock.
It's hard to believe when you watch Steve today that a few years ago, his lungs were failing and he was fighting to survive.
For 8 hours a day, someone was pounding on my chest to try and keep my lungs clear. I honestly don't think I had more than a couple weeks to live.
That's when Steve received the gift of life, a double lung transplant made possible by an organ donor.
After I got my new lungs, I started doing things that I had never been able to do. I never knew that breathing could feel this good.
Steve climbs to honor his donor and to raise awareness for organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Wouldn't you like that when you left this beautiful planet, that you could save a few lives on your way out? It's an incredible gift.
Imagine what you could make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Government today.
They're not human. They ought to be destroyed.
It's like all the children from the Village of the Damned grew up and went into politics.
You can't stop us, you know.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back. This is Senator Malcolm Roberts, and I have a special guest, Dr. Philip Altman, who's sharing his views after decades of experience with our health bureaucrats and with the TGA and with Big Pharma. This is the most important speech, what you have delivered last Saturday, is the most important speech delivered in this country in years, perhaps decades. So I ask you, is it culpability? Is it ignorance? Is it gutlessness? What is going on? This, because the evidence is clear.
Yeah. Look, I've asked myself that question over and over. When I first started to look at this, and I thought, wow, things are going wrong. My initial reaction was to cut people slack, right? Because I didn't know. But as the evidence began to mount, and it became more and more clear, and now it's absolutely crystal clear. There is no debating the evidence now. It is so consistent everywhere that now I have to come to the conclusion that the people who are making these decisions and fail to reflect on their course of action with our health policies regarding these vaccines, things like ivermectin, have got themselves into such deep water they don't know how to get out. And maybe in the beginning it was a noble lie, and they thought they were doing the right thing. But as time goes on, more and more of them must realize that this is wrong, that people's lives are at stake here. And the problem is that our top health officials have become middle managers. They're taking instructions, right? They're not the people in charge. And I think that explains a lot. And people are trapped at the moment. They're not making the decisions. They're not the decision makers. We all know about the WHO and how they're seeking to control our health policy, which once you control health policy in a country with a Biosecurity Act, you can control the country. We all know that gets into another issue, but that's
we'll
part
go
of the
there
problem.
Probably next time. We'll go there, right. Philip, next time.
Look, I've tried for over a year to explain the problems on the basis of science, and you just can't. The science is clear. If it was just on the science, I would win all the time. The game would be over. But it's not about the science. It's about politics and power and money. And that's why arguing just the science doesn't do it, right? That's why last Saturday I went off the reservation, because I was sick and tired of repeating the same science, the same consistent science is popping up everywhere. It's doing me no good just to repeat the science. You have to think about it on broader terms, right? And people look at you and I've lost friends. People think, some people that I've known for many years that know what I do, right? They don't even want to discuss it. They've drunk the Kool-Aid. They've swallowed the blue pill, right? And I look at them and I try and say to them, look, this is the most important thing that may never ever have happened to you in your lifetime. Don't you want to know about it? Aren't you curious? Don't you want to know what I think? Because I've been involved in this all my life. And yet, most of them say no, but I can tell you, I've made heaps of new friends. It's been incredible. At that conference in Melbourne last Saturday, I had 200 people stand up and sing me happy birthday.
Well, I can give you some reassuring news. First, some bad news, Philip. That Parliament is similar to the friends of yours who have no curiosity. Parliament is comprised mainly of sheep. But the sheep are waking up. Do you want the good news?
Yeah.
Alex Antic is another senator. He's in the Liberal Party from South Australia. And I asked a very strong question about adverse effects and deaths in the Senate in question time Monday week ago. And Alex came up to me afterwards and said, bloody good question, mate. And then he said, you could see the body language in the government opposite, and you could see the body language in his own party. People at first, when I spoke, they were interjecting. When I continued without giving voice to their interjections, and then when they heard the answers to my questions from the minister, their body language showed these people know there's something wrong. They were ashamed. Yeah. Yeah. That means they're waking up. They are waking up, but it'll take a long while before these incompetent, dishonest bastards wake up.
It's a slow process, and really, I've learned that I can't really hit people too hard up front with everything all at once. It just doesn't work. They just shut down, right? So if you're a responsible parent, and you've taken the decision to inject your child, or you know, you've been involved in getting your grandkids receiving these so-called vaccines, and now you're waking up and you realize, oh my God, what have I done? That's really hard. That's heavy duty stuff, right? So I've learned to be a little bit careful with people. Some people are more open than others, and I usually have to wait and see if people ask the right questions. I can usually tell within 10 or 15 seconds if this topic is raised, where people stand and what their tolerance is. They reveal themselves. But I tell you what, this pandemic has been an incredible stress test of society. You know, you heard in the 2008 financial crisis, the stress test on banks, right? This is a stress test on our society, because some people respond in favorable ways and some people do not, right? For example, this tattling on your neighbor, putting your neighbors in, if they haven't been vaccinated, excluding people from clubs or meetings, friendships falling down, this sort of thing. This is a real stress test. But you know what the problem is? The real problem is the media. The media must bear full responsibility for what's going on. There is what's called the Trusted News Initiative, and your listeners can look that up. It's not a fanciful thing. It's started by the BBC. It's all out in the open. The Murdoch News Corporation is in it up to their ears. It is this Trusted News Initiative, which doesn't allow the truth to be told, to allow the science to be questioned, is at the heart of the problem, and they must bear real responsibility for what is going on. Because if people really knew, if they sat down to their news at night and people were just told, not opinions, just report facts, just report the excess deaths, things like that, things would change. But they can't change because the media is complicit.
And on top of that, Philip, we have the government complicit and the opposition, most of the opposition complicit, because they allow the Australian Bureau of Statistics to keep covering things up. Basic things like all-cause mortality, basic things like analysis of cause of death. These things are hidden. So let's continue with your speech. And I want to congratulate you because you said the media bears full responsibility. It certainly does. Despite what we now know, people are still being coerced into COVID-19 vaccine injections, which carry the risk of serious injury and death, even if they are not at significant risk of COVID-19 due to their health status, age, or natural immunity, or lose their jobs. Those responsible for this stain on humanity, wonderful words, stain on humanity, cannot wash their hands of this injustice and claim they did not know better. They must be held to account. At no other time in history were we told not to treat a serious infection as early as possible. Early treatment with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine was banned in Australia, not because these established drugs did not work. Clearly, they do work and they can save lives. But they were banned because the use of these important, cheap, and widely used drugs might reduce vaccination uptake. You go on. Our TGA has admitted this specifically in relation to ivermectin and has refused to disclose the names of those responsible following a Freedom of Information request. Shameful. That is the truth. Thank you so much for saying that. I've been saying it for a while now. The only reason they banned ivermectin so that people were forced to take these injections. That is inhuman. There's that word again.
Yeah.
Let's hear from you for a couple of minutes, Philip, and then we'll go to another ad break, and then we'll go all the way home.
I was looking at the minutes of the scheduling committee that was considering the scheduling of ivermectin. And I'm doing that because I'm involved in writing an application to remove the wording which will prevent the use of ivermectin being used off-label. For example, about 25% of drugs are used not for the official use, but for other uses, right? And I was looking at the Freedom of Information request that was lodged and the response from that in relation to that committee that decided to effectively ban the off-label prescribing of ivermectin. Three quarters of the response from the TGA was blacked out, right? You couldn't see the names of the people that attended the committee. They even declared that there were people with a conflict of interest that were observers to the meeting who were participating in the meeting. I wonder who those people were. I mean, it was completely redacted. Huge swathes of black ink all over the response from the Freedom of Information. Why is that secret? Why can we not know who made that decision? Aren't they proud of that decision? Don't they want to stand by that decision? If that decision was based on science and facts, wouldn't they want to tell us the full facts? It's just beyond belief.
It is, and it again, it's inhuman. So, we go on with your. Well, no, we'll have a break now. Then we'll come back for the last 15 minutes or so of our program, and do a summary, and then get ready for the next 2 hours we'll have with you. We'll be back straight after this message from our sponsors with Dr. Philip Altman.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Well, the tropics are the big deal. They were the big deal yesterday. They're a bigger deal now because we have a Category 4 typhoon that is going to be hitting Japan in a few days. And we're seeing a big pickup of activity in the Western Pacific, but they're developing in relatively close to the coast. We're not seeing these systems coming from way, way far out. And that's really interesting because we're seeing the same kind of thing in the Atlantic Basin. Look at Fiona. It hasn't been able to intensify. Eventually, next week when I'm talking to you about Fiona, and I think it's going to be up in the Bahamas, and then eventually you have to make up its mind if it wants to impact the eastern United States or go out to sea, it will become a strong storm. These are developing out of the main development regions because of the distortion of the warming that is taking place. So a lot of action in the tropics. Watch out in Japan. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Ukrainian President Zelensky is among five people named as recipients of the John F. Kennedy Profile in Courage Award for acting to protect democracy. President Zelensky was chosen because he has marshaled the spirit, patriotism, and untiring sacrifice of the Ukrainian people in a life or death fight for their country. The John F. Kennedy Library Foundation said, in response, journalist Gonzalo Lira asked, "So when you shut down opposition news channels, persecute journalists critical of you, imprison your political opponents, and in some cases have them murdered, that's defending democracy?"
When you need to know what's going on around the world and at home, keep it on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And this is back with Senator Malcolm Roberts, and I've got my guest, Dr. Philip Altman. Before we continue with Philip, at TNT Radio, we never go home. We're committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live, 24/7, online, globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT Radio. And Philip Altman is now revealing so many things for the first time and emphasizing and backing it up with data for the first time on this show. So let's continue with his speech from last Saturday. Our so-called health experts went out of their way to cherry-pick and distort published data in a desperate attempt to discredit effective early treatment of COVID-19. Disgraceful. We've covered that. And what is worse, the wonder drugs proposed to take the place of drugs like ivermectin were the old, previously failed big pharma drugs from Merck drug Molnupiravir and Pfizer's Paxlovid. Both have disappointing clinical efficacy. Molnupiravir is mutagenic, and poses a serious cancer risk, and Paxlovid has undoubted serious kidney and liver toxicity. The unsuspecting public has been indoctrinated to believe that vaccines are safe. They don't know that many conventional vaccines have been withdrawn from the market because they were shown not to be safe. These COVID-19 so-called vaccines are not conventional vaccines. They were based on a gene technology never before deployed for vaccine use, and their safety and efficacy testing was compromised. Corners were cut. What could possibly go wrong? So what we've got, Philip, is we've got big pharma pushing drugs that will supposedly are antivirals. They're pushing a vaccine that's not a vaccine, has not been tested anything like properly, and they're making money out of this, while at the same time, their agents, who you described as our top health officers, have become middle managers. How appropriate. Their agents are suppressing drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine that not only have been proven in the past, are proven with this virus. What a disgrace. This is serious stuff that we're dealing with.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at it, big pharma is a well-oiled machine. I didn't really realize it until this pandemic, but I was sitting in the presentation by Dr. Pierre Corey in Melbourne on Saturday, and he really described it. If anyone hasn't seen it, you really have to go to amps.redunion.com.au and have a look at that presentation. And he describes how the medical literature is completely controlled by big pharma. So any generic that's useful, that's cheap and widely used, is completely crushed, okay? Because they can't make money from these drugs. For example, with ivermectin, there's like 60 or 80 clinical trials. They vary in quality, but there's probably more than 30. They're really good quality, and they all point in the same direction, right? And they all say the same thing. But yet they compare that data to something like one clinical trial with molnupiravir. One trial, which didn't have convincing efficacy at all, and it's a mutagenic drug, yet they favor, our government paid $40 million to pre-purchase, $40 million of taxpayer money, pre-purchase to buy molnupiravir. I mean, Merck must be beside themselves. The champagne corks are popping everywhere. And that's why I no longer cut RTGA slack and our chief health officers. They know, they must know what's going on. And if we don't correct this, it's going to happen again. We're living, and people have to realize it, in what's basically a post-truth world where the media is strictly controlled. And people don't have their time. You know, they're looking after their kids. They want to keep their job. They're traveling and so forth. They're busy people. They sit down and watch the news at night, and they believe what they're being told. And the example of this pandemic and climate change are really good examples of how we're living in a post-truth world.
Well, I want to re-emphasize the point you just made. The medical literature is controlled. It is exactly the same with the climate literature. It is exactly the same with the nutrition and food and dietary information and literature. Yeah. I also want to emphasize, your comment about $40 million has been paid by our federal government using taxpayers' money.
$400 million.
Sorry, $400 million.
Yeah.
Pre-purchasing a drug that has basically not been proven.
It's a 20-year-old failed drug.
I love the way you correct me. Thank you so much. That's even more important. That's even more important. And let's face it. We know that we have tried to get, as senators, we've tried to get a copy of the contracts with Pfizer and the other providers of the COVID injections. And the government has refused to give them to the representative of the people. They're spending the people's money, and yet they will not give us copies of what they're spending it on. We don't know the liability exclusions. Yeah. We don't know anything about these contracts.
I've seen the contracts because I was involved in the high court cases. Yes, but I can't tell you what's in it.
Okay. We will get them eventually. We're trying every means we can. We'll get them. But let's consider another point. We've only got 10 minutes left today. The risky world, we'll go on to your speech again from last Saturday. And I must say, your speech is just so strong, so clear, so unequivocal. It is absolutely stunning. As I said, I don't gush with praise usually, but this is the most important speech I've seen anyone deliver in a long, long time. It's vital for our country's future. And we'll get onto that next time we meet, because we need to go to the wider aspects of what this COVID mismanagement is ushering in. So let's continue with your speech. The risky worldwide rollout of a largely experimental gene-based technology with little safety data to the entire population, including healthy individuals at little risk, children, infants, and even pregnant women, all paid for by the government, has been a masterclass in marketing. Let's correct that. You made that mistake. Paid for by the government on behalf of the taxpayers using taxpayers' money. It has been a masterclass in marketing, you said. Now, let's look at some hope here. The UK, Sweden, and Denmark all have moved to pull back their vaccine recommendations due to safety concerns. But not Australia, because we have been selected as a test case by overseas power brokers. Let's talk next time about who these power brokers are and their agenda. Now, you go on in your speech. Without the collaboration of the US FDA, Food and Drug Administration, and our once proud TGA, Pfizer could not have achieved annual earnings of $100 billion with full indemnity should something go wrong. Stunning. The world has taken the biggest medical gamble of all times. We put our faith and trust into so-called vaccine experts and health bureaucrats to advise and protect us. I believe they have let us down. Philip, was it the world's biggest medical gamble or the biggest crime?
Well, it depends. I can't go into people's minds. I don't know what they're thinking. And people can fool themselves very easily, right? You know, you can be on a tennis court and you can clearly see that ball was out, right? And someone else says, no, I saw it in. And they're absolutely adamant that ball was in, right? You cannot change their mind. People, the mind plays tricks on people, right? So I can't say that they know that they're committing a crime. What I can say is they're refusing to dialogue. No one has called me. No one wants to discuss it. No one's called me to Canberra. No one wants to put me on a witness stand. No one wants to discuss it. So in that way, they have to be culpable, because what I'm saying is not opinion. I'm just quoting the data. I'm just quoting the facts. Yet they avoid the facts. It is willful blindness. And I think willful blindness is a crime. They have a responsibility to review the latest data on safety and efficacy. And they have an obligation to constantly review that data on a daily basis. It was only 2 days ago, Denmark came out and said, oh, no, people under 50 shouldn't get vaccinated. They've weighed up the risk and benefits. They have a very good drug regulatory system in Denmark. Why can't our regulatory system be as good as Denmark? They should be.
Hear, hear. And let's re-emphasize that the Danes have said no one under 18 should get it, full stop. That's it. Yeah. End of story. Yeah. The only people who should get it are people over 55, if they want it, and there's no mandates allowed. That's as I understand it. Yeah. The same Britain. Britain had.
Yeah, the key to all this is informed consent, right?
Yes.
No one that's getting these vaccines is getting informed consent. If they were offered true informed consent of what the facts are, many people would refuse. You know, I have no objection to that. If people want to consider the facts of these vaccines and decide, no, I want to have a vaccine, I'm not anti-vaxxer. I've been vaccinated all my life. My kids were vaccinated, right? They've been fully vaccinated. But this is different. This situation is different. If someone is fully informed to the circumstances and the facts, and they still want to have the vaccine, I have not an issue with that. But the doctors are not allowed to provide full informed consent. They are instructed that if you deviate from the narrative of the government, even if it's factually based, you may be brought before a board, a health board, which can discipline you and possibly take away your right to practice medicine.
Isn't that a crime? Yeah, I would say that's...
I think it is.
Sorry? I think it is too.
I think it is.
And what is also very apparent, Philip, is that this, some of these heinous acts were pre-planned. This injection response, this virus response, was not done over 6 months. This was done with literally decades of preparation. They have been planning this, not the details, but they've been putting in place a system whereby federal parliament has been white-anted, bypassed, so that we can't hold ARPA accountable because it's made up of a combination of state legislation, not federal. So ARPA is running amok, suppressing doctors, suppressing our health system, suppressing good medical advice, suppressing basic things like doctor-patient confidentiality, suppressing basic things like informed consent, which the Greeks gave us 3,000 years ago. And this has been done starting back in 2009 with the formation of ARPA, and prior to that, some other exercises, and then Event 201 in 2019. This has been planned. Who the hell is planning this?
Well, look, there is a vaccine industry. We know that. We know the players involved, very powerful billionaires involved in this. A lot of people have made a lot of money. They see this as a model to make money. When you can get government to buy your product, which has been rushed through an approval process within months or no approval. The most recent boosters that have been approved, one of them, the Pfizer one, has been approved on the basis of immunology in 8 mice. No clinical trial whatsoever, and it's been approved. I can't believe what's happening. So they have a model where government forces you to take a product that hasn't been proven to be safe. They have no liability, and they can charge what they like. It's a great business.
Yes, and
great
and
business.
I'll add something there. It's a dishonest business. It's an inhuman business. And I'll add something more, and that is to say that this is the only time in history where a product failure has been blamed on those who do not use it.
Yeah.
The product failing is the COVID injections. Every one of them. The people who are being blamed are those who refuse to take it.
What is really, really reprehensible in my mind, is even suggesting that children who are not at risk at all to any statistical extent, I mean, their risk of COVID-19, of dying of COVID-19 if they're healthy is virtually nil, right? To force them
Correct.
To take a vaccine to protect their grandparents is despicable. It's nauseating.
It's a lie. We're going to have to finish now, but thank you so much for accepting my invitation to come back in 2 weeks' time. We'll have another 2 hours dedicated to all your work. I want to say it again. Yours is the most important speech that we have had in this country. Thank you so much, Dr. Philip Altman. Thank you so much for your courage, your integrity, and your clear, objective data. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The people of the world owe you a debt of gratitude.
Thanks, Malcolm.